Now we just bow our heads while we're standing to speak to our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to thee tonight for this privilege that we have of gathering here this lovely big Philadelphia church to meet a group of worshipers and our dear beloved pastor, Brother Colbert, and many the evening great Philadelphia church and all of its members and staff workers. And it's certainly a privilege for me to be here tonight to speak to you in this church. And very warm, but that's what we like, a warm meeting. Nothing like one. Thanks to our dear beloved brother for the token of welcome here also, for the flowers that was given to brother and I. There's, you know, flowers preach sermons. Did you know that? That's right. It's an expression of love, what flowers is. But they preach a sermon too because there's something that God has made, and they're beautiful. Now, I was at Indianapolis last week, and the Lord was met with us there with a wonderful meeting. And your dear pastor, who is always such a close bosom friend to me, you know, he loves me when he knows I'm wrong. That's what makes him such a good friend. No matter, a lot of times I say, Joseph, I wish I could do that, my brother, but you can't do it. And sometimes it's really legitimate, and don't make any difference what you have to do. Joseph don't care. He can do it all right anyhow. You know, anybody can be your friend when you're in a rout, but when you're in a wrong and you see your friend, that's a real friend. I remember I used to have a little poem in school. Many of you my age can remember that, I suppose. I don't get just the last part of something about a man of words and not of deeds is like a garden full of weeds, something of that order. And dry weather friend is very many, but real friends who stick it close with a brother, they're appreciated and very, very finely appreciated, highly appreciated. Now, we're on our road tonight to leave in the morning real early, about to break a day if we got some of the hot weather to Minneapolis. The Christian businessman's breakfast is Saturday morning at the Leamington Hotel. There were to meet several delegations, some from down in the place where Brother Joseph didn't want me to go for a long time. They got a delegation coming there from Egypt to find out about meetings in Egypt, and then from the, I believe, another group of got the YMCA to have the delegation meet there from non-Pentecostal ministers of greater Minneapolis and many other different things. And the meeting is going to be a very strange one as far as advertisement, where no one's advertised to speak. Well, I have the breakfast, but all the rest of it is just to be the way the Holy Spirit leads. As for see Mr. Roberts, Tommy Hickson, many of the other wonderful brethren that's on the field, just to sit in the meeting and what the Holy Ghost says, you go do it. I think that ought to be pretty good, don't you? I just think that's right. Just the formal out of it and let God have a chance one time to say what He wants to say. We preachers always say what we got to say, then let the Lord have a chance to say. And our good friends from South Africa to say will be there also. I understand they may be here in the meeting tonight. Tomorrow night. They're to be here tomorrow night. These men, I met one of them, which set up, I believe, the Johannesburg meeting or the Durban meeting. A very fine brother. And so I understand one of the greatest among the influential speakers. And if they're to speak here tomorrow night, it would behoove all of Chicago that can touch this little place in to be here tomorrow night. You hear? They got pictures. I don't know whether they'll be showing those or not. They got the pictures of some of the Zulu tribes and the heathen rays and many of those things which would be very interesting. You need these brethren. And that's tomorrow night, is it, Brother Joseph? I'm sorry.
I want to introduce to you the Massarino family. Will you stand up? That's brother and sister Massarino and family. They are all in your system. And they use all the system. They are from Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, that's very fine. So brother, sister, and Serena and family, we're certainly glad I am to have you here and all along with this congregation. I was a little late getting in tonight, but some minister introduced me to the United Brethren Church the other night. He said, "Friends, the late Mr. Brown." I said, "That's right." I said, "I was even about 2 hours late from a wedding. I thought it'd just be a few years late from a funeral." So I had to hurry, but I got to hear one of the songs. I believe the doors pulled away open when I was in the pastor's study, along with 60 soldiers. And I tell you, that was really wonderful. And I've heard much of them. I'm sure you'll be enjoying their music. Everybody knows what I told you to look for when you're in heaven, didn't I? You know, the river of life comes out from under the throne of God. It comes down, turns the bend, and goes down this way toward Glory Avenue, just where it turns. Well, all the angelic choir and the musicians are all be over on that hill, singing and playing their harps. And over on this side of the hill, I hope there's a little tree so I can just lean back against it and soak it in that I can really get enough of it. I really love singing and music. I know we all do. How many know what the order of battle is for the Lord? You know what the first thing was before the battle? Singers and musicians went forth singing. Not weeping and wailing. They went forth singing. Then after that come the Ark of the Covenant. So we went before the Ark. Then after that come the fighters. So that's a good thing. It's a very scriptural order for a religious service. The first thing, the music, then the words, then the battle. So it's all ordered of the Lord. Hear these brethren. And now, pray for me much, if you will. I've got some real vital decisions to make at Minneapolis, the future plans for meetings, and I certainly ask. Say, I believe I'm kind of secondarily associate pastor here, is that right? Yes, sir. I ask my church to pray for me. I read John Wesley said that the whole world was in perish. Is that right? So that's the way it is. I feel it. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I certainly appreciate the time of fellowship with each and every one of you. Now, I love the word so well. I just love to talk on it. And tonight, I thought maybe it would be appropriate for just a little while, being hot, that we just have a good old-fashioned Sunday school lesson on Thursday night. Wouldn't you like that? Just to teach a little from the Word. I like Sunday school, and I like the teaching of the Word. And coming fast and had to hurry, I didn't get a chance to look over and then so when I went into study, I happened to come over to this scripture. And all of you have Bibles, let's turn over now to the book of Hebrews and the 10th chapter to begin with. Very beautiful setting here for a great, teachings of the Lord. The book of Hebrews was to the Jews separating law from grace, as Paul wrote to them here. There's been many disputes in the church whether they should eat meat or whether they should associate with the Gentiles. And I think Paul writing this epistle here to the Hebrews is one of the most outstanding letters in the book. It's, to me, it's great because it's showing the law of and grace. It's separating the two. And now, may the Lord add his blessings to his word and come and visit with us. And now, be much in prayer as we go to try to teach. I'm not a teacher. And my gift in the church is praying for the sick. And say, by the way, we're talking of that. How many of you going to the Indianapolis meeting? Well, you remember the, I believe you said the last night, a mute girl or something other? How many remember little Rosella? What is her last name? The alcoholic was Griffin? Griffin? Is she here tonight, Rosella? She's from Joliet. And Rosella, she called me a couple nights after that, and I believe she's either taken the girl from the music school there or was with her while she was there. The girl was born deaf and dumb, never heard or spoke a sound in her life, and the Lord Jesus gave her a perfect hearing speech right at the platform before most 10,000 people. Isn't he wonderful? And now the...
I like that, Brother Brown.
Yes, brother.
That when we were in Indianapolis now, there came a man up to me, as well as the lady. The lady may be here tonight. I'm not sure. That's probably left from Minnesota. But this man, he had a cancer, a good cancer on his back. And he told me in Indianapolis, he said, before I reached the railroad station, the cancer had disappeared.
I got a letter of that in my office. I'm right.
And then there was a lady. I know her very well. In fact, she's a member here of the church, but she lives in Embarrass, Minnesota. And she had a big tumor. And she came up right on the platform. And she told me this in Indianapolis. She said, on the way home, the whole thing broke and everything came up. And she said, if I hadn't bothered with it, I wouldn't have had a mark, but I should help God a little bit to have a little mark.
Yes, sir. Isn't he wonderful? I really believe that the people are just now beginning to understand what I've been trying to tell them for many years about this healing. The man about picked up one of the letters as a post office, and he was sitting there. He had a paralyzed arm, and his hands would go down until his fingers, he couldn't even move them up to trim the nails from him anymore, and they were turning into his hand. He had to have surgery to cut them out. And he said that while he was sitting there, he said, I'll send you a picture, Brother Branham, both before and after, and said, I just caught the idea. Something happened in Indianapolis that had never happened before. After going through a long prayer line, just a week and after I could hardly move, then all of a sudden something picked up. And I looked up here, and there was a vision of people kind of streaming down the line. And you and Indianapolis know that hundreds times hundreds circled down to that altar and gave their life to Christ. He said he was sitting there like that. He said, you know, I now understand what the man's talking about. And he began to feel something tingling and burning in his hand. And it was his fingers just coming open like that. And it was one time he was healed. And see, on the road, the man said he had the cancer on his back. And it just went away. The people just now beginning to see. They didn't use the laying on of hands and having water or holy water or something on you or something. Well, that's all right. But that second healing,
right. The
initial way and the right way, is just like you receive the Holy Ghost. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on unto her. They were ready. And it's massive healing. It's not great, long, worn out, prayer on. It's right now the presence of the angels of God and the Holy Ghost that bring perfect deliverance for anyone. The world's got to be evangelized all at once. We've got to go. Two-thirds of the world never even heard of Christ. And we've got to hurry and do it. You don't have time to bring up hundreds and out and tomorrow night all the more out. It's just right now the Holy Ghost did in Boston. And in Africa, there were 25,000 healings in one prayer. Think of it. And the other night, on the platform, I don't want to start this testimony, so I better switch to the word quickly. But that you might know why all my heart is loving coming tomorrow night. Very soon, I've been feeling to go to Africa. Difficult as well, not because of myself, but others that connected with me, as Brother Jose understands. And I was coming, dedicating a church, and some of them come up and said, Brother Branham, won't you have a little prayer line? I said, well, brother, I sure will. I said, I can pray for the sick. There's many little churches, about 200 people. A little brother just come out of great tribulations and or drunk his life and got saved and went away to the church of God and was dedicating a wonderful little church. The name of Tash, Junior Tash, in Charleston, Indiana. Someone came out and said, what do you mean, a minister? He said, I got a church that seats nearly 1,500 people. And I heard the telephone, and here you are back there, and you didn't come to my church, and here you are back there in the swamp. There was a little brick structure, a concrete, just sticking sideways in. I said, you don't need help, he does. That's the one that needs help. And in the line coming down, just brings her sick, I've seen a girl, a colored girl, and we know the dark race of people, the colored people, come, their native home is Africa. Just like the yellow man is from China, the Anglo-Saxon, from Ireland, England, so forth, Sweden. When they separated from Eden, or from Babylon, some of them went down into hot countries, and some went into neutral countries, and some went in way up in the north, and some were bleached white, and some got brown, and some yellow, some black, but they're all of one blood. prospers Adam. God of one blood made all nations. Each man, the black man, the yellow man, the brown man, the white man, but the plasma from the blood, it's all the same. Just the same. It's just the way the climate colors the people. And then going, it seems the time coming close when I got a vision, wrote in the back of my Bible, we're going to Africa. They brought this young Ethiopian girl, and as she was coming up, I noticed she was swinging her leg, and she was tied to what we call kind of a slim, thin girl, about 15, real skinny, well-dressed little lady. But I noticed her working her mouth. I guess I felt the tears running down her cheeks. Well, I wonder what's the matter with that child. Well, when Mr. Taylor came to the platform, her mother was behind her. He said, Brother Brandon, the girl has a severed nerve from an automobile accident that bursted or something or other, the nerve that from her hearing and speech. She'll never speak or hear again. And said, it was an automobile accident. And said, and soon so, it also done some other nerve that the doctor had to tie up, which makes her, with her legs like that, is stiff in her side. Well, I said, that's still too bad for kid. My heart rolled out for it. And I said, bring her here and let me pray for it. So as she was coming, I looked up over the top of that girl's head. No vision kept coming. There was that tall grass, little mounds of anthills and things that typical of South Africa. The grass, the waving, I can hear the wind blowing even. I know something had taken place. That left me. I didn't know what to say. I stood there a few moments. I said, now, friends, I want to make this clear. I just saw come before me a vision for Africa. I said, perhaps maybe somebody's on the road here, or maybe he wants me to go over. It's time for the vision to be fulfilled, which will be exceedingly greater than the other one. And so, then I said, Heavenly Father, we don't see signs. How many know what took that to sign? A weak and adulterous generation. Is that right? We don't want to be classed like that. But I said, we're not. But yet you give signs. And I'm asking you again, I pray you wanted to know what about going and so forth, when to go and so forth. But now, if this girl came in and decent book, if you want me to be ready to prepare for Africa, will you give this little child, poor little thing here, a Christian? Although the doctor says the nerves are severed, it has to be a work of creation, would you just give her back her perfect soundness, and I'll be a sign between you and I that I must make ready for Africa, not knowing if failing right then with these veterans that will be here tomorrow night to make arrangements for the African campaign, knowing nothing of it. And when I cut my hand from the little girl, she screamed, "Mother, to live!" And she was as perfect and normal as she ever was in her life. And there were some people there from various former churches, denies the very existence of the Holy Spirit, great denominations of the world today, would argue with you to drop your head or 5-1 that there was no such a thing as miracles. A great group of those people walked up there one by one, husband and wife, and shut my hand and said, Brother Branham, we have believed in miracles, but this confirms it as God is, because this girl from our neighborhood. That's God still rules and reigns. The law, having a shadow of good things to come. Listen to that. The law having a shadow of good things to come. Now, if we would have to type, which I do much typology, so then the law was a shadow, so all the law could not have been darkness. There has to be a certain percent of light in the darkness to make a shadow. Is that right?
Right?
So many people are quoting the 23rd Psalm. They just quote it and say, I go through the dark valley of the shadow of death. Now, if it was a dark valley, it wouldn't have any shadow. So you see, death itself under the law. The day that death now only is a shadow. There's a lot of light in death. Now, if it's all darkness, my, that would be horrible. But death is just a shadow.
So there has to be light mixed with the darkness to reflect the Father. Isn't it wonderful? No one yet the struggles in our book. And how many know his brother Bob with all the means he had in Chicago? Why in Indianapolis, his wife called me, said, "Brother Van, your old friend is dying." Said he's got death rattles in his throat all day, and we tried to locate you everywhere. He's under an oxygen tent, unconscious, and he's rattled in his throat all day. I believe he'll be gone before morning. And Brother Van, we want you to preach his funeral. I said, "Sister Barbara, don't speak of that. Let's speak of something else." And we went over and fell on our knees before God and the pastor of the church, thousands of people. And the next night, Brother Barber called him talking on the phone. He said, "Brother Barber, I'd like to be with you in the table of Barber. I don't know." And the revival said, "Maybe we can go in the next couple of years sometime." Oh, I love that courage. No shadow, no negative, it's all positive. That old teacher, he knows that's where he's standing. And every reader of the Bible knows that all the best can do is to put a shadow of a fruit before you. But it cannot hold you. Christ put forth all those thunders of darkness and freed those that were in paradise. In the shadows and in the positive eye, in the presence of God our Father. What a thought, not only a thought, but a truth that God has made manifest through His Word. All the love due before shadow Jesus Christ. For in Him is the perfection. If I was going from the sun, and there was a sun at my back, it would cast the shadow. I could look at that shadow and pretty well just what I would look like, whether it was a flying fowl or a four-footed beast or whatever it would be, it would cast the shadow. And the law only cast the shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus. All the way under the next chapter of Hebrews 11, chapter has all speaking there. Oh, that's the great heroes of faith, how they took the edge of the sword and their mouth of the lions were closed. And great, wonderful things was that as the people lived under the shadow. And to do all of that by faith, how much more that we be able to do today than the anti-shadow is here. When Christ has come and fulfilled all the law and has become a real, living, resurrected, glorified Christ in our midst, what kind of a people ought we to be? Why, I believe the time will soon arrive that when healing will be, a miracle healing will be such a common thing, we've got to get some rapture and faith in the church to go into one of these days. Law, having a shadow, how foreshadowed all the things. We could go back, if time would only permit, and get the great things back all through the coming of the ark of the flood, how Moses down Egypt, and many of the great characters, and the changing of the dispensation, how the law, by the word of the law, had supremacy, and how that everything else give away. And God's law is the law. Now, if God's word through the law spoke and taken the initiative, how much more ought the Holy Ghost in a human being that's been born again by grace and called of God have to be the power that was behind that word when it was pushed forward by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What ought to be today? The word having such a great effect, knowing the heavens and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And the law was God's spoken, written word. What? It was cut in a serpent's skin. It was sprinkled on top with blood. Had a crown on top of that to show it was the king's word. And all those shadows. As today, the blood being sprinkled on the believer, where the word of God goes forth, come the believer. And why that set the altar as it is, was not sprinkled by a lamb's blood, and just sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, our own conscience, from sin and defilement. What a forceful thing the law ought to be. That's where I find the weakness of the full gospel church is not having faith in this wonderful word that they have received.
That's right.
Let's stop here just a moment. Go back. Listen for a few minutes. What that word was. This word that we're reading from this Bible verse was not only in its existence from the pen of St. Paul and Luke, Mark, John. This word that we're reading out of this Bible was spoken before the world ever came into existence.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Only thing they did was just write down what God had already spoke. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let's take a little imaginary trip before the world ever began. You know, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I just take away the curtains and let's look into it just a moment. Then that'll give you courage for anything you have need of. As long as you find it written here, just take a hold of it. God will make it right. Think of it. The world allows a turn. It is cycle. Eternity. Just eternity is like a perfect circle. It has no corners or no ends. If I started with a perfect circle here tonight, going around and around on this earth, it might cut through the dust, through the floor, through the earth, for billions of years, and eons of time to come, it would still be going on a perfect circle. Endless. That's the way that God was in eternity at the beginning. Now, we can't credit Satan to be a creator. He just perverts what God has already created. God created you to be perfect, and Satan perverted you to imperfect. God allows you to be to your wife, a sweetheart, legally married, but to love someone else is to pervert that true love that you should have for your own wife. Satan does that. Your love ought to be to Christ undefiled. But Satan perverts that love to something of the world. He perverts it. So then when he perverts good to wrong, and taking the angels with him, a little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity and dropped down to a place called time. It comes in right here. Goes around, goes out right over here. Time, eternity exists right on down through time. Now when Christ saw what Satan had done, when God brought back here at the beginning of time, notice now, while God at the beginning was no wiser or no less wiser than he is tonight, God is infant. You believe it? God is infant. Then he can never change. Now, we get a little smarter as we get older. The whole world gets a little smarter. You used to go to church in a 1940. Tonight you have a V8 in the same thing. Used to be the only way to get across the ocean is an old ship with sails on it. Tonight a jet plane will take you across. See, we get smarter. But not God. God was perfect at the beginning, he'll be just as perfect at the end. Now, here's what I love. Listen at it now. If God is infinite and perfect and cannot make a mistake, are you following? If he cannot make a mistake, then the way God acted in the beginning when a crisis arose, he's got to act the same way. When the same crisis arrived, or he acted wrong when he acted back then. You see? Then, if God said something, he's got to stay with that in order to be God. Amen. That would make a Methodist religious, wouldn't it? Look at it. God
you bring it to him, man. He's got to keep it. Then, if a crisis arose on earth, like the people dying in the wilderness, and God erected a brass serpent for their healing, because the doctors and so forth was with them if they had any, could not know the remedies of Egypt, could not cure their sickness, so God had to act. And if a crisis is wrong today, when we got more sickness in the world ever known, diseases like cancer, heart trouble, that the doctors can't touch, then God's duty bound to act the same way he did then, or he acted wrong when he acted that time. Certainly, common sense would prove that, if it wasn't even written in the Word. He has to be the same. So when God speaks the Word forever, it's part of him. It can no more fail than God can fail. If one word of God can fail, then God's not infant, neither is he omnipotent. He has to take the dust, then he becomes a marvel of God. God. But when he speaks his person, amen. Oh, that's what I like. Perfect. And we are perfect with the Word. The law having a shadow of the things to come, and not the very image of the thing, those sacrifices which were offered year by year, never make the coming unto you perfect. Jesus in St. Matthew, Gospel said, he is therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How are you going to do it? How can you do it? How can you be as perfect as God is perfect? But that was a commission or a commandment by Jesus Christ to be as perfect as God is in heaven perfect. Then you say, who can be saved? Hold it just a moment. Let's find out how that perfection is made. Now, God back there in the beginning, when he foresaw down through this speak of time, and he knew they would have to have a remedy to save those which were desiring to be saved. Those who hungered to be up there in that realm, he had to make a way to redeem those people back again. If he was infant at the beginning, there never was a flea, frog, fly, or anything else ever come on earth for what he noticed before the world was ever born. Amen. Think of it. He knew you. He knew me. And in order, knowing that our hearts would hunger and thirst after him, he had to make a remedy. His great love and his great power and his great law constrained him to do so. He couldn't do nothing else in order to be God but to make a way. So when he looked down through the stream of time, from this end of the fall here, up to this end of the fall, you know what God did? God did nothing else but speak right then of Jesus Christ coming, his own Son, which he was tabernacle with on earth, came down to out of the heavens, was made flesh and dwelt among us, redeemed us, went right back up, and sang up here on the other end. And all that great highway that Isaiah saw across the place, across the span of time, Christ is standing at the other end, the receiving end. Yeah, I was illustrating a little something for the kiddies the other night, and was telling about the father of Moses and the mother, and how they was giving the little baby back, committing it back to God who gave it to them. I said, now, if you save your soul, keep it, you're going to lose it. If you give it back to God, you'll keep it. I spoke 5 times in the Bible. Now, I said, if the father and mother of Moses kept him, they would lose it. If you give it back to God, they would keep him. And how did that tell you when they pushed him out into flags and bulrushes? How God rose from his stone. Great rose dropped around him, walked out there, and he said, come here, Gabriel. down here. I got somebody waiting. I give it to them and they're giving it back. They can't keep it because the witches in hell will get it.
Them old women going out scratching their little heads and going and cutting up the crocodiles on them. If we keep it, they'll kill it, we'll lose it. But if we give it back to God, we'll keep it. And in this little box that you're selling in and out, you've got a precious thing in there. It's a soul. If you keep it, you'll lose it. Go on, keep it going out the world, not let the rest of them. You'll lose it. But if you give it back to the one who gave it to you, you'll keep it. Amen. Just believe me. And they put this little baby in the ark and pushed him out. I can hear God say, Gabriel, come in. Call 10,000 angels on marching orders and line them all up and down the mouth. You see that not any crocodile comes here then. And when it gets into a whirlpool, he lets it out all right. You're going to hit many whirlpools in this life, my brother, but if God has called angels on marching orders to take care of it, that way he'll get out of it.
Amen.
Notice, and the little ark was tipped. I can imagine why they put that car on, you know, like that on the seat. Old crocodile starts sitting nose up there, what a smell. He backed off. And we watch him all at once, he becomes frustrated. And away he goes, why? Gabriel's sitting up on top of that ark, floating down the river. That's the reason they couldn't touch it. They would then give back to the ones that gave it. And that's where it is tonight. God, let these angels have watch over us. The angels of God are intense about it. They don't go back and forth and stay here.
Amen. Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
The angels of God are intense about those who fear him. I'm here able to say, but Lord, where are you going to be at all this time?
I'm going to be on the receiving end, not the other end.
He'll be down there to receive it when he gets there. Therefore, he's standing tonight on the receiving end. He is standing on the portals of glory, on the receiving end to receive his children. And someday, when life is over, he'll reach down and wind the end of that highway of holiness around his hand, give it a big pull, and when he does, once he's broke here, he'll lift every saint right back up into that rim of eternity again, and he'll roar to the angels.
He's on the receiving end.
What's he scared about? Pray he won't do it?
Yes, he will.
He sure is as a God of heaven. He'll do it. And he's on the receiving end. Oh, my. Look at it. There, and God stood there. And he said, here's my program. And now, a word, in the beginning was the word. Now, a word is a thought expressed. Now, God was thinking about it. Now, it was just a thought, but when he expressed it, it became a word. And when it's once expressed, he can't take it back. He's got to stay with it. So therefore, the Bible plainly says that Jesus, and someday when life is over, he'll reach down and wind the end of that highway of holiness around his hand, give it a big pull, and when he does, once he's broke here, he'll lift every saint right back up into that rim of eternity again, and he'll roar to the angels. He's on the receiving end. What's he scared about? Pray he won't do it? Yes, he will. Oh, sure as there's a God of heaven, he'll do it. And he's on the receiving end. Oh, my. Look at it. There, and God stood there. And he said, here's my program. And now, a word, in the beginning was a word. Now, a word is a thought expressed. Now, God was thinking about it. Now, it was just a thought. But when he expressed it, it became a word. And when it's once expressed, he can't take it back. He's got to stay with it. So therefore, the Bible plainly says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. For the moment God spoke it, he was slain in heaven at that time.
Yeah.
The only thing you had to do is appear on. Only thing you had to do is come out your head.
4,000 years later before he was ever slain, actually. But when God spoke it, it was so perfect it had to be, and it could be recorded as a document in heaven, because God said so. Had to be. Go where he said that feet to bruise the serpent's head.
Amen.
Now, he said that was Jesus. Let me tell you something. How many Christians here raise up your hand? Born again Christians.
Good. It's all right.
All right. Did you know that the same time he was slain, you was accepted? Did you know that? Well, he said, Brother Ram, I got saved about a week ago. Glory to God. You ain't written down and going, wait a minute. Don't want to be different, but the Bible makes a difference. The Bible said over in the book of Revelation that in the last days that the Antichrist would be very religious. And he'd go around and just like a religious person. And he would deceive all upon the face of the earth whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. From where? The Bible. From the foundation of the world. The same time the Lamb was supposed to be slain and the blood then was appropriated then, your name was associated with it at that very time and said in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only thing you have to do is run out to the time that God calls you by the Holy Ghost, and no man can come to me except my Father calls him, and all comes to me. I'll give him everlasting life and raise him up at the last day. Which I'm twice my size. Say, therefore, it's twice as much. Think of it. That before the world ever was formed, when the Lamb's Book of Life was spoke by death, your name was associated with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But you still are. He's got to go to the receiving end. He's got his angels there watching over him. Let out and get as sick as those up there, he's going to do something. If you want to jump out of the ark, go ahead. But I'd like to stay right with him. Lord, you said so. This is your word. When you spoke it back then, you spoke my association with it. I'm staying in the word. You said so. What is the word? The prophet said. The Holy Spirit come down and just spoke the word to the prophet as they wrote it on the book that God spoke before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the word. Even in the Calvary, everything that he ever possessed, Christ took it back to the church and gave it to the church. All that God was, he poured out in Christ, and all Christ was, he poured out in the church.
Amen.
I'm with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ will send you up to the end forever. Oh, church of the living God, how can you weep over little old things so insignificant? Why don't you put your faith in the word of the living God and look at men back there of old, the shadows, like Abraham and them? Call those things which were not as though they were. God said so. When Abraham, back then under the law, was probably asked, man, what's the matter? You're 100 years old. Your wife's 90 and say you're going to have a baby? Glory to God, yes, sir. Well, man, you're crazy. What is something wrong with your head? You better go to the doctor. There's something wrong with you, Abraham. No, it's not. I just got a change of heart. Was a man 100 years old, his wife 90, today walks out the doctor and says, Doc, we want to get the maternity room all fixed up. Wife would have a baby. The doctor say, well, I tell you, sir, if you just walk out of the room a few minutes, just ring the bell, stop back and come here quickly, bring your hands up. Sure. Because the wisdom of God is foolish to the world, and the wisdom of the world is foolish to God. But those who can never get anywhere, God got to take God's word and say it's so. Hey, brother, that'll defeat the devil anyway. That'll heal every sick person in this building. That'll give everybody the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's your promise.
Why, here? If you're here as a real believer, you're sitting here wanting to serve the Lord, God's obligated, you could not have that desire in your heart unless God created it in there.
You used to didn't do that. But God created himself.
each one of you maybe sick people here. Say, I wish I could be healed, Brother Branham. I've been suffering with stomach trouble for years, or headache, or something like that. God's here to do that.
That's right.
See, if it's not God, it's you. See, he's here to do it. His word is real. If you can just lay hold of it and say, that's true. The reason is, the reason that you were saved so easily, sometimes when you are healed, is because you were elected before the foundation of the world. Your name is put in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's strange. As a son and daughter of God, still hold on you. Oh, you're not saying that. It kept scratching your head and wondering, you know, I ought to do that. It's something I'll do it a little later. On it, roll around. There you are. Now, healing is included in this. You believe in healing, or you wouldn't come to hear about it.
That's right.
Now, if you can lay a hold on it just the same way you did for your salvation, you get the same result. Got to. Now, the law having shadowed the things, can never make the worshiper perfect. Now, why couldn't? Because there was nothing there to perfect him with. The law was a shadow. In the Old Testament, when he went to make an offering, the man brought a lamb. He got there then. He confessed his sins, put his hands upon the head of the lamb, and told God that he was sorry for what he'd done. Reached up the lamb's throat, jugged the vein there, and the little fellow began kicking, breathing, dying. His hands were bathed all over blood, and he felt the quivering pain of that little lamb laying there suffering. He kept his eye on it, shaking, suffering, like that. And he thinks, that ought to be me. What a horrible fellow I am. Now what? Then the man went right out of there, not perfect. He couldn't be. Because when he did, he went out of there with the same desire in his heart to go do the same thing that he did when he went in there. Still had the same. Why do you have the same desire? Because why? The blood shell had been broken, the lamb, which was the shadow of the Lamb of God. Now when that blood shell was broke and bursted open, the life that was in that blood cell, or in the lamb, which consisted of coming from one blood cell, it all comes back to one master blood cell, that was from the germ, which was the pollen from the male. And when that blood cell was broken, this life was separated here, the life that was in that blood cell could not come back on the worshiper. No, sir. Because how could an animal without a soul, how could the spirit of a brute come back and coincide with a human spirit? It couldn't do it because it didn't have no soul. It was an animal. Now, but when a worshiper, watch here. In the next chapter here in Hebrews, it says a couple of verses below here. For if the worshiper once heard, would have no more conscience of sin. And he by his own sacrifice has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Perfected for how long? Forever. Then what is the Holy Ghost bringing? We've allowed it to too many things. You losers, oh my. You think because you joined Lutheran Church is just to live for faith? Luther says we got it, but he found out they didn't. You Methodists, when you got sanctified, you got it, you clapped your hands, you wrapped around the aisle, you thought you had it, but come find out you didn't. The Pentecostals, when they could speak in tongues or dance in the Spirit, they thought they had it, but found out they didn't. Right. All those things are all right, but that ain't it. It's the person, the Holy Spirit himself, the resurrected Christ. And when you lay your hands by faith upon God's accepted and provided sacrifice, which was absolutely perfect, there's the body of Christ. And out of Adam's side come a rib that made his bride. And out of the side of Christ came the blood, water, spirit for his bride. And how do we get into that body? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They're like Abraham. They call those things which were not as though they were, and call them all dead to the things of the world, and alive again in Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That my hand hates me, joy, and south brass, but it'll tell you, and joy, and send the motive.
Yeah.
Amen. Notice, the worshiper, once heard, has no more desire of sin. No more conscience. The word conscience is desire. Look and see if that ain't right. Conscience is what's in it, in there, making the desire. Your conscience is the dirty, your conscience is not the dirty. It's your desire. So then, if the worshiper under the law could not be purged because the lamb was only a shadow, and he went away with the same desire, yet it was speaking correctly to the right lamb coming. And then when God sent his lamb, and he died, and the worshiper then coming, holding his hands by faith upon the bleeding lock of the Lord Jesus, and can in your heart appreciate that he was the only thing that could ever come and redeem you, and you'd be lost and gone to hell, and then appreciate his love for you when you were unlovable, appreciate his foreknowledge of you, that you'd have the heart to do it, and appreciate his leading of the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place of acceptance. And you lay your hands upon him by faith and renounce your own life as a sinner and accept his life instead, the blood of Jesus Christ then cleanses you, and the life that was in the bloodshed of Christ, which was none other than God himself, the Holy Spirit, comes back into your life and coincides with your body, and you act and walk a Christian life to redeem you in the world.
Right.
And the devil couldn't touch you if he had to.
Right.
Amen. Every promise in the book is yours then.
Right.
He said to it. Why? The blood cell. What did it originate? What did it originate in the lamb? The little sheep. What did it originate? From the male sheep. It was a sexual desire. It was sinful. After the God had pronounced this, he made it a permissive. But never the perfect. God made man out of death, there's a breath of life and life into him, and he became a living soul. But then, property, women become that instrument to bring life, and that season has to go back. The body, the soul, then, must be taken to the first to originate the beginning of a new life. Did you realize that? Now, the lamb, when its life broke at the place where it was sacrificed, the worshiper with his hands ready and realizing he was a sinner, as he's gathering under Calvary. But the worshiper could not be made perfect because by the life that come out of the lamb, he could not be taken back in the lamb's body because he was a human. The lamb had a different nature. Its nature was different. Now, if the lamb's life could come back to the worshiper, he'd go back out and eat grass and act like a lamb because he was a brute. So he cannot be made perfect. But in this place, where the worshiper is not purged from his sins, the very life that was in that body comes back and baptizes this individual into the Holy Spirit. And this law was not born to sexual desire. Where that original blood cell started, God Almighty created it in the wombs of Mary. No man had nothing to do with it. And that one blood cell where God brought himself down and come into this blood cell and forgoed out a body called Christ and come in the fullness of the Spirit and live in him. Then when that blood cell was broke down for sin, every man coming to Christ and purged by that blood has no more conscience of sin and perfectly anchored in Christ until the dead of the redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, breathe not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Amen! Yeah.
Oh,
that makes the devil go.
When the believer realizes where he is. What is? Oh, it's no good in me, brother. That's right. I never was any good, neither was you.
There's nothing we can do about it. That's the good part of it. But when you can just recognize that, that you're no good, then you're not trusting your own goodness. If there's one thing you could do to Mary, you should have something to brag about. Lord, I'll talk to you day and night, but you can't say that to him. He said, no man can come to me except my Father is broken, and God seeks man and not man seeking God.
Right.
So you don't have one thing to say, but God, it was your grace that did it.
Right. Right.
And there, as long as you're accepted in the beloved, how can God bring you into judgment when he's already dead Christ in your spirit?
Right.
How could you have to suffer for your sins when Christ has already done? That would be a two-timer and an awful person. That's right. When it was thoroughly saved by Jesus Christ and you accepted it, and as long as God accepted Christ, he accepted you with Christ, and when did he do it?
before the foundation of the world when he spoke of his existence, he spoke you to redeem with him. And your names are written in the life book of life before the foundation of the world. And then you're saved.
Yeah.
Well, if I can just keep holding on, I quit that a long time ago. I never did even try in the first place. I just turned loose and let him do the holding. Someone said when I was sick that time, when y'all always said, Brother Van, did you keep the religion during the 6 days? I said, no, sir, it kept me.
That's the difference.
And that's what happened. When God brought an Israelite in, Abraham believed God, talking to a very outstanding, one of the greatest Christian leaders in the world today, one of the greatest, Pastor Rosé and I knew the other day, speaking on that. It's not what we did. It's what Christ did. It isn't what I'm going to do. It's what he's already done. I know I'm no good. Never was. Never will be. But then in the presence of God, I'm absolutely perfect because it's not me. He never sees me. He sees Christ. I'm in Christ. And my name was associated with him at the foundation of the world. I'm just waiting for the cause that he's brought up. And we'll go some of these blessed days to meet him in the end. Someone said, Brother Branham, you prayed, you know, many times, way back when I was a little boy preacher. All the people used to come out and say, Brother Branham, why, if that be so, then I can just do anything I want to. I said, that's right.
Sure.
Do anything you want to. If evil's in your heart, then you've never been to Calvary. That's one thing you should always do what I want to. God lets me do what I want to, and I'm so glad of it. If I did what the devil wanted me to do, it's hard to tell what I would do, but if I do what I wanted to do, like I did before I was saved. But now there's a new spirit in there. It's not the spirit of a lamb, it is the spirit of William Branham. It's the spirit of Jesus Christ that makes me love the unlovable and makes me do things I thought I never would do. It's him. Well, if it was me, you know what I said tonight? I'd call up Mr. Bozan and say, hey, boy, look, I've been up for 2 nights. I haven't had a bit of sleep. I slept about 2 hours in the last 2 nights. Going, coming in. People at the door and everything else, and way in the night, and try to lay down a few minutes to get you up again. That's broken, and that goes away, here's another. Sure, I'd stay home. But there was something in me. That was me. Said you're supposed to be in the time of the night. And it was 12:30 at home, about 280 miles to drive through that traffic. I said, Lord, I'm going, you help me. And he did, I got just in time. I was here. There's something in you. So there is therefore now no condemnation to me to those that are in Christ, for they don't walk after the lust of the flesh, they walk after the spirit. And if you love the Lord, you want to do everything you can to please him. Well, let's take it this way, short term. If the unlearned would understand, if you love your wife right, I love my wife for you. Well, why is there was such a thing? If some other woman would come up and say, Billy, I love you too. And she'd be a real pretty girl and say, I love you. Well, she won't do it, but if she would, see. You know what I tell her? I'd say, look, sister, kneel down here and I'll play with you a little bit. Why? Well, you say, Bill, you're in Africa or Asia somewhere. Your wife would never know it. That might be true. And if she never did know it, I know it. See? I would know it. And another thing, if I love her the right way, you say, well, she loves you so much, she'd forgive you. That may be so too. But I love her too much to do it. See, that's great. Not nothing I've done, but it's just my love for her. And that's what our love is to Christ when we've been born again and realize that we're sons and daughters of God. It ain't me you have to do this and have to fall, but all things to be lawful, but not all expedient. So it isn't some law that I have to preach the gospel. It isn't some law that I have to do this.
Oh.
It's because I love him so much.
Right.
I just love to do it. And if you love him like that, as long as I love my wife like that, she don't have to never weary. As long as she loves me like that, she don't have to weary. We don't go around one another now. She said, now listen here, Mr. Branham. Tell you something right now. You're going to worry on the ship. I'm going to lay the law right down to you. Don't you run around on me, young man. Don't you do that. Why did you just start laying down the law? Then I turn back and I say, now, my fair lady, let me tell you something. While I'm gone, don't you have to worry about me. Don't you do this and don't you do that. Well, we don't say that. Sure. I just love her so much, and my trust is in it. and she just loves me so much in the same way. So we just, I said, goodbye, sweetheart. Be praying for me. All right, dear. I'll be praying for you all the time. Hurry back. All right, that's all of it. See? You ain't got everything well. You have to come and be just the way and sprinkled and confirmed and brought to this and that and these and that and all these different orders and things like that. If you don't dance and you keep cross this way, you ain't right. You have to dance and you keep cross this way. A young lady come to me here some time ago and women wore those skirts that they call sandal skirts. And she come to me and she said, Brother, I want to ask you something. And I said, yes, ma'am, sister. She said, well, you think it's wrong for a Christian girl to wear a sandal skirt? She said, you think I said, what in the world does a Christian girl need with a sandal skirt? If she's a Christian, she'll be so far away from that thing until, so, why, it'll be as good sure as her love is for Christ and not to be a sandal. Right. That scorches the short, don't it? That's right! If you love the Lord, you'll be doing something else besides that. I ain't preach all the liberation of women or men, what you want to, but that'll never change the Bible.
That's right.
God's word is true. That's for you Pentecostal people, do you? Yes, sir. Or you lay on the bar some way, something happens. Used to be it wasn't the way it is now. It's just because the weakness of the pulpit. And just because you got mixed up in things. If the Holy Ghost helps you better back then, you're manly and everything, and then you start doing this today, the Holy Ghost don't change. It's just the same every time, every time, every time. You know why I'm beginning to think that a lot of times people get one another's ghost instead of the Holy Ghost? You watch them the way they are. You go into a church where the pastor is kind of a flighty, wild, fired up and overnight, watch the congregation do the same thing.
Right.
Brother, I'm telling you, if you do get down and pray to God until that real Christian spirit moves into your heart and settles all problems. You know, the Bible said there'd be a famine in the last days, not for bread and water alone, but for hearing of the Word of God. That's right. And that's the truth that can be, friends. It's a sin. We'll never make the worship of fire, then they would not have ceased to be offered. But because that the worshiper once heard, should have no more conscience of sin. It's all gone. Now, the worshiper once heard. How does it do? When the life of the sacrifice comes back to the worshiper, then it's meekness, patience, gentleness, long suffering, goodness, faith. See what I mean? Now what did we Methodists do? We wanted to shout and get it. What do we Pentecost? We want to do? We want to speak in tongues and get it. But that's not it. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, patience, meekness. There's not one visible evidence of it, not one fleshly. It's all in the supernatural realm. Right. It's the hidden force that's in you. The life of Jesus Christ coming back on you, the worshiper, as you laid your hands upon his head and confessed that you were wrong. Now look, a good Baptist brother said the other day, he said, Brother Dan, not the other day, it's been a couple of years ago. He said, what, didn't Abraham believe God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness? I said, that's right. So what more can any man do but believe God? What more can you do but to have faith? I said, that's all he can do. That's all Abraham done. But God gave Abraham the seal of circumcision as a confirmation that he had received these things. And I said, then, when all the other things pass away, the other things become true, when you make your confession and believe and accept the Lord Jesus, and you become meekness, patience, gentleness, and faith, and the believe God, believe the divine healing, believe the whole Bible, believe everything that God says, then that's the evidence that you've been saved. God has circumcised your heart and taken away all your unbelief, and you believe in God then. That is the word sin. Sin is unbelief. Jesus said in St. John the 4th chapter, he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to do anything, you're condemned already. Now, drinking, committing adultery, that's not sin. You do that because you're an unbeliever.
Right.
You're an unbeliever to begin with.
Right.
That's the reason you do those things. Now, if you want to get right with Christ, those things are just they're circumcised at the altar. When you confess it, God just takes it away and puts the life of himself in it.
Right.
And then you're in Christ and you can't come to judgment. Jesus said in St. John 5:24, he that heareth my words and breatheth on him and sent me, hath everlasting life and shall never come into judgment. But thou already passed from death unto life. He can't bring you to judgment. You're already dead. And when the Holy Spirit comes back to make you live this different life, it's God's seal of His circumcision on your heart to prove that you've been stopping and drinking, smoking, gambling, cursing, unbelieving, and not believing in the divine healing, the works of God, and has received God. And it's a seal, and everybody knows about it now. You once come in the house like, oh my, angry and tip over something, and oh my, how you carry on. That's the old man that got converted one time. He said he got saved. I said it's for a joke. I'm just saying so you. I don't believe in joking. But you might see what I mean. He came up the road, and he was saying he used to curse and carry on and hoop and holler. He went to a little meeting and got really saved. He came back up the road saying, Jesus, keep me near the cross. When he got close to the door, he said, the old hound looked over there and said, the old cat in the corner said, this is that, would you? He always took him off the porch and everything. Said, I bet he hasn't got it. Just the cat, you lay here and I'll lay here. We'll see if he's got it or not. When he got so close, he couldn't stand it anymore. So out of the house went the dog, and around the house went the old cat. He went back out and went out of the barn. He always knocked his chickens around and beat everything up. Mean, disobeying. So the old rooster said, he used to get so mad at me when I crowed to get it up for him, I'll fly him out. So he let out a great big crow and flew. He couldn't stand it no more. The old cow said, now I'm in an awful fix. He's got me the hall room and tied me around a post. Now I have to stand it. All the fowls and things set around to fly him out. Said, only thing you have to switch him in the tail, with the tail right across the face and watch what happens. Said, well, see if he's got religion or not. Old cow thought it's hard to do. But he didn't stand saying, Jesus, keep me near the cross, just a joking away. The old cow tucked her tail like this, and she slapped him in the face like that. He patted her home back and said, Bobby, dear, your old soul. He said, bless the Lord, you didn't mean to do that. They all said, he's really God. Now that's right. That's what the evidence is, brother. You passed from death unto life. And all the things that you once done passed away because the life of Jesus Christ has touched your spirit into control and you're a new creature. And once earth has no more desire of sin as long as you live on earth. So if you're constantly weak and falling up and down, you'll not have a mental reception of it, but never an experience of being born again. When meekness, gentleness, and patience takes the place of this mental theology. Oh, you say, listen here, Mr. Ram. I study the Bible. Our pastor and so forth, I study Bible lessons. Yes, the devil has seen. He knows more about it than you'll ever know. That's right. But there's one thing, he can't get the Holy Ghost. You can. That's right. So as long as if he can't get to you, for you are dead, your life is hid in God and sealed by the Holy Ghost. How can you ever get to? The first thing, you're dead. You'll hear a dead man tell a lie. You'll hear a dead man fuss back at you, sent the cast and fuss at you all night. You never say a word. Why, he's dead. And you reckon yourself dead, and your life is hid in God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. The only way the devil could ever get you, it has to come through the same washings that you came through and receive the same spirit you did, and then he'd be your brother. See? So he can't get you. It's you that's never come to Christ right in the first place. You get to a place, say, well, I still, Brother Brennan, the Lord never did sanctify me from this. If he sanctified you from one thing, he sanctified you more of it. He takes your whole soul, body, and spirit. That's right. Don't be deceived, brother. The man who despised Moses' law died without mercy under one or two witnesses. How much more so a punish the whole world who trod the blood of Jesus Christ under his feet and tried to cut that world with his sanctified with an unholy thing to them despite the works of grace? There you are. The Bible said it's impossible for that man to do that. So if a man once been enlightened and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and taste of the power of the new world to come, it's impossible for him to fall away to renew himself again into repentance. So if you're constantly on the up and down, remember, brother, you have never correctly ever come to Jesus Christ yet. If the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world, and if you love the world, the love of God not even in you. you're only emotionally, mentally worked up with some kind of Christianity, some kind of theology you've been taught to, and never in your life have you ever come face to face and met Jesus Christ and been born again. For in you once fallen in love with Christ, the world dies out then for eternity. For you're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of your redemption, and you're dead, and your life is hidden God through Christ and sealed there by the Holy Ghost. Your destination is determined right then when you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Take an old freight car when you load it, as you send this part in it and that part in it, where the car might be determined to be human being. Get there, we'll jump up and down and say, hey, look where I am. You're not going to go. Before the Holy Ghost is ever put up here on you, before the seal's ever sealed that car, tell its destination, the inspector comes down. He looks the whole thing over. He examines and sees everything fit to time. The trouble ever is today we've had in our Pentecostal churches too much overhead religion.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Instead of coming back to the old-fashioned blood-washed gospel of Christ.
Right?
We have too much emotions, too much mental into it, and psychic emotions instead of being really settled down and steady, because you can watch it when the Holy Spirit comes and the meetings and presses the word that people don't know how to receive it. If that tunnel was open, the Holy Ghost would run right to it just as quick. That's why he's keeping his way through a crack in the dirt.
Amen.
You believe that?
Right.
What we need today is a good old-fashioned breaking up. That's a prophet going down to the potter's house to be broke up and remolded. That's what the Pentecostal full gospel church needs today, is a good old-fashioned breaking up. Coming back to be remolded again. Do you believe that?
Right.
Let us pray then as we bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, just seems so good to stand here in the Philadelphia church and feel the response of the Spirit and know that the Word is sinking deep into the people's hearts, to realize that they're receiving it. And it's life to them. Oh, how they love it. And it just feeds my soul to see the people respond to this Word, though I have not the ability to put it out the way that it should be. But Father, I pray that it'll help somebody. That the person who's weak needy, just stumble along. Lift up those weak and feeble knees. Straighten up those hands that hung down. May they be lifted up and rejoice, because there's no need of us living a defeated life. Go on.